Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Also greetings from our small congregation in Preston, Idaho. It's probably about half of this size. But I think it's a blessing to get around and see other faithful congregations. And we were blessed a few weeks ago to have Nelson out to preach for us and get to know them. So it's a blessing to have brotherhood, but I think it's also a blessing to have a broader spectrum, broader view of the church, and also it's a blessing to see that Christ is building his church, and there will be a faithful church until Christ returns. It was also inspiring to see Brian and Ruthann being taken in this morning here. That was our experience not very many years ago, and we appreciated our time at Elm Street, and then we felt called to move to Idaho. And then I was called to the ministry back in February. So this is a fairly new calling for me and trying to find my place. So we're going to get started in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us unto the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and that's the title of my message this morning, Ambassadors for Christ. I'll continue reading there. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we want to think of this thought this morning of being an ambassador for Christ. And I looked up the definition of ambassador. It says, an accredited diplomat sent by a country as an official representative to a foreign country. So that's what we want to explore a little bit this morning, what that looks like. Just an interesting fact that I looked up is the United States of America has roughly 200 ambassadors that are serving in other countries around the world representing their nation. So my goal this morning is for us as Christians to just stop and think about which kingdom we belong to and really think about that kingdom perspective, and also which kingdom are we representing as we're taking this journey through this foreign land? Do we even view this as a foreign land? Something to think about. And the Bible says that we are pilgrims and strangers. In Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Do we view ourselves as strangers and pilgrims on this earth? You know, as Christians, we are called to be the ambassadors of Christ, representing his kingdom here on earth. And we have a responsibility in that. It requires us to live faithfully, a holy life, and committed to the peace and the non-resistance that Christ himself demonstrated. It seems like a very big calling, but it is. I also looked up, what are the roles and the responsibilities of U.S. ambassador as he represents America in other countries? And I found it interesting. I think there's some parallels that can be made here. The first, it states what the ambassador does. In most countries with which it has diplomatic relations, the U.S. maintains an embassy, which is usually located in the host country capital. The U.S. also may have consulates in other large commercial centers or in dependencies of the country. The chief of mission has the title of ambassador, and he has a deputy chief of mission. Their job is to head the country team, is what they call it, of the U.S. government personnel. Responsibilities of the chief of mission or ambassador of the post include, speaking with one voice to others on U.S. policy and ensuring mission staff to do likewise, while providing to the president and secretary of state expert guidance and frank counsel. Directing and coordinating all executive branch offices and personnel, except for those under the command of U.S. military, it lists a few other things. Cooperating with the U.S. legislative and judicial branches so that the U.S. foreign policy goals are advanced, security is maintained, and executive, legislative, and judicial responsibilities are carried out. Reviewing communications to and from mission elements. Taking direct responsibility for the security of the mission, including security from terrorism, and protecting all U.S. government personnel on duty, other than those personally under the command of U.S. Area Military Commander. Carefully using mission resources through regular review of programs, personnel, and funding levels. Reshaping the mission to serve American interests and values, and to ensure that all executive branch agencies attached to the mission do likewise, and serving Americans with professional excellence, the highest standard of ethical code, and diplomatic discretion. That sounds like a pretty tall order, but I think there's some practical things we can learn from that would carry over into the Christian life and how we are to be ambassadors for Christ's kingdom. So the first point, or first thing I want to look at, is the identity of an ambassador of Christ. And we can find that in John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You know, we don't appoint ourselves. We're not self-appointed, but we're called by God to bear the witness to his truth. And I like what it says there in verse 15. It calls us friends. And, you know, Jesus wants to have that personal relationship with us. You know, just as an earthly ambassador does not... back to this thought of not representing ourselves. Just as an earthly ambassador does not represent himself, we must put aside our personal agendas and represent Christ's interests. So often we have the things we want to do, or the way we want life to go, or we have all kinds of ideas for life. And are we willing to lay those down and follow Christ and do what he asks us to do? Sometimes that can be hard for us, but that's what we need to do if we truly want to carry out this responsibility of being an ambassador. Secondly, we must be a citizen. We are a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our first loyalty is to God's kingdom, not to the kingdoms of this world. And well, look at that a little bit later. Some more. You know, if we did not properly understand this two-kingdom concept, it's very likely or very possible that we're going to have an identity crisis and we're going to forget who we are and where we belong And that we don't actually belong to this country of America that we feel like we do belong to sometimes. And if we just blend into the culture, blend into society, we're going to forget who we are, and we're going to lose our purpose of mission for being here. And I believe it's a real challenge. You know, if we lived in a country where it wasn't so easy, I don't think we would be so tempted to just assimilate into culture as we do here. It's so easy. You say such a cushy lifestyle that we can just assimilate right into culture and feel right at home, and we can lose our way if we aren't staying alert and realizing where we actually belong. So we have to live with the eternal values in mind. We have to keep looking to Jesus, looking to our long-term goal. And in the meantime, we have to be demonstrating the love, the truth, and holiness, the holiness of Christ to others. So while we're in this foreign land, we must be speaking the message of the King. And go back to 2 Corinthians 5, where we started, verse 19. I already read that, but I'm going to read it again. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. You know, our goal is, our role in this world is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to call people to reconciliation with God. That's our job. That's what we're called to do. And as being an ambassador for Christ, we must speak the language of Jesus Christ to others. And as we do this, we can do this through both of our words and our actions. People watch how we act, and sometimes that speaks way louder than the words that we say to them. And that's something we need to think about as we serve here. You know, it's absolutely impossible to serve two different masters. You know, if you think of someone being an ambassador for the U.S., how would it work if they'd also be an ambassador for another country and trying to be representing two different countries at the same time? There'd be some serious conflicts of interest. And that's the same way if we try to serve two masters. It's basically going to tear us to pieces because we can't, it just doesn't work that way. So the second part I'd like to look at is the conduct of an ambassador for Christ. You know, as we serve in this role, we need to be living a holy and a separated life. We see that in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, as an ambassador is serving in a country away from home, he is not in a culture that he's used to. And he needs to remain set apart from that culture so that he keeps his identity to the country that he belongs to. And that's how it is with us living in the world. We're in this world, but we're not to be of this world. And we need to be okay with being different, with being set apart from the culture around us. My question is, what's more important to you and me? Is it important to you, or more important to have a life of holy living? Or are you more concerned about the American first policy and making America great again? You know, what gets you excited? A real challenge to me to think about that, because it's so easy to get caught into that whole thinking and political movements. We must avoid conforming to the world, but rather be transformed by Christ's character. Secondly, we need to be displaying the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5 is where we find the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. These are the fruits that should be flowing forth from our life, because that's what Christ called us to be. That's what Christ is like, and we're supposed to strive to be like him. We're supposed to reflect him, because we're supposed to be a reflection of who he is, to represent Christ to others. And we're supposed to be a light in this dark world. Matthew 5:14-16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to continue shining that light in this dark world and and being a godly influence to those around us as we take a stand, a strong stand on righteousness. And still, somehow through it, we need to be full of grace and truth. It can be a very, very challenging thing to balance sometimes relating to people, but somehow we need to display those fruits and still be full of the grace and the truth from Jesus Christ. We can't just avoid some things just because. The third part of this message, I want to look at the non-resistant nature of Christ's ambassadors. You can turn to Matthew 5 for that. Verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. And if any man shall sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whatsoever shall compel thee to, and whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him twain. Give them that askest thee, and him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know, following Christ, we need to be following Christ's example of peace. You know, Jesus taught and lived this a life of non-resistance, even in the face of persecution. And as his representatives, we are called to love our enemies and overcome evil with good. And we don't always feel like doing that, but that's what we're called to. And I think if we remember where we belong, it's going to make it a whole lot easier and keeping our focus on Christ. We're not to entangle ourselves in earthly warfare. Sorry. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. Who chose you to be a good soldier? It's Jesus Christ. And he chose us, and we need to, and we made the choice to accept it. But we're fighting for Jesus. And it's not earthly, it's not physical, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle for the souls. In John 8:18-36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." You know, non-resistance, often we think of it in the form of not serving in the military. But I think it's way more than that. It's a way of life. It's simply not being of the spirit that we want to fight back. Always fighting. Not always being in conflict with a brother. It's peacefully getting along with each other. And we need to maybe think a little bit differently about it sometimes than just being not serving in the military. I think it's way more than that. And as we serve this in this way, that the verse stated about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we have weapons that Jesus gave us to fight in this spiritual battle. And we have the weapons of prayer, of faith, and of the Word of God. And you know, sometimes we go to prayer as a last resort. And I don't think it should be that way. Typically, it's the first thing we should do. We should be praying about a situation and not just using prayer as the last resort to fix a problem that we come up against. John 17:14-16, "I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." I think that lays out very clearly where our perspective should be. We're living in the world, but not of the world. We're to render love instead of retaliation. I can turn to Romans 12, verse 16. Romans 12, verse 16. "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, instead of seeking vengeance, we just need to trust in God to be our defender. God is the one that will defend us and protect us. And in the end, he's the one that will carry out the vengeance on the evil. It's not our responsibility. That's God's. And our responsibility is to show kindness to all, even if we oppose them. We're supposed to still be kind to them. I want to think a little bit here on this non-resistant thought on the fact that God establishes the leaders in this foreign kingdom. And I'm talking about the kingdoms of this world, and we can just continue right on into the next chapter here, Romans 13. let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be not afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. For if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore all to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You know, God calls us to a level of respect to earthly rulers that goes beyond just their personal character. Or I could say who they are as a person. We may not appreciate who they are or how they respond or the decisions they make. But we're to honor them just because of the role that God has called them to. He established this leadership and these positions were filled by God. And we need to respect them, you know, whether we agree with them or not. And sometimes that can be quite challenging. It's easy to get on board with somebody or support them because they're thinking and making decisions like we like. But what happens when they don't? How are we going to respond? That's a real challenge to me. Because God did establish this government of the countries they have a responsibility. And it's to deal with the evil and also to reward the good. And can you imagine if we didn't have government, the chaos that would ensue? It would be a disaster. And you can see countries where the governments have fallen apart and anarchy breaks out. And I think we should just be thanking God that we have a government that tries to keep law and order. And we need to pray for our leaders. I think that's our responsibility as a Christian. We need to be praying for them. And I think that's the way we can support them in their calling that they have. Now, I also understand that there's times when governments and leaders make decisions that go directly against biblical teachings. I'm not talking about that so much this morning. There is a time for having to decide what we're going to do when these laws contradict or impose things different than the Bible teaches. And I believe in those times we need to pursue God's direction through prayer and through the brotherhood. But as a whole, I guess the point I'm trying to make is defiance to government should not be a way of life to the Christian. It should not be a lifestyle that we are constantly defying government, trying to get out of taxes, just trying to be, I'm not obnoxious, I guess might be the word. So just want to really think about that we have a proper view of the leadership that God has established in this earthly kingdom. Let's see. 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 8. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a minister and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That lays out very clearly what our responsibility is to the earthly leaders. And the last part I'd like to look at is the mission of an ambassador for Christ. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And also Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." He makes it very clear what our mission is to go and to teach and to baptize. You know, every Christian that accepts Christ as their Savior is an ambassador for Him. Not just some of us, all of us. And we have a responsibility for sharing that message. It's a message of salvation that the whole world needs to hear. And there's different ways we can do this. We can witness through just personal conversations, people we meet out with, neighbors, community engagement, and just also living that consistent Christian life is a huge witness to those around us. You know, we just never know who might respond. Sometimes we look at people and say, well, I really don't think there's any hope for that person, but it's worth talking to them because we never know who's going to respond to the gospel. It's not for us to decide who's going to make that choice. And back where we... it talks about bringing reconciliation. Our job is to lead people to Christ and helping them understand their need to be reconciled unto Christ and accept Him as their Savior. That's our job, is to lead people to God by demonstrating His love and truth. And we need to do this through humility, through patience, and we need to have a heart that hurts for the lost. We're not going to do this. If we're being proud and arrogant, it's never going to work. And Paul, I enjoy the study lately through our Sunday school lessons of Paul and his missionary journeys, because he set such a good... He had a zeal for the church and building the church and reaching the lost. And I think we should just really be challenged by Paul, especially if you look at his background and where he came from. And he was killing the Christians to turning around and having a zeal for them and for the church. It's just a real challenge to us to have that zeal for Christ and the church. And lastly, we need to be faithful unto the end. Matthew 24:13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." You know, we must endure in our calling. It can be hard at times, but we need to stay faithful to our mission until Christ returns or calls us home. Our reward is not here on this earth. Our reward is in eternity. And we just need to keep on with this journey and helping each other. I think that Hebrews 11 can be a real encouragement to us. If you read down over all those heroes of faith that have gone on before, and that's just a few, there's lots more. Hebrews 11:13 reads, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, but He hath prepared them for them a city." So let us remain steadfast in our calling As ambassadors for Christ, remembering that our mission is not to seek power or revenge, but to bring others to reconciliation with God. May we live as true representatives of Jesus Christ, shine his light into a world that so desperately needs him. I just would like to leave us with a challenge this morning. If you think about this, if taking a position of ambassador assigned by the United States president is considered a great honor, then why is taking a position assigned by God sometimes considered a sacrifice? Something to think about. You know, if we believe this is something we should seriously consider if we take God's calling on our life seriously. So that's the challenge I want to leave with you. Is serving God a sacrifice or an honor? Let's kneel for prayer.